Of grace, our hearts betray with thirst to merit or repay, but we need not live to pay the cost, for it was finished on the cross. It was finished on the cross.
Time we'll dismiss the children's for Children's Church, and it's a privilege to introduce to you Evangelist Pat Tanner. He's going to come and preach for us. Pat, you come on ahead.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. Well, good morning. It's beautiful out there today, and I'm glad you chose to be in here instead of out there. That's for sure. It's a pleasure to be here this morning, and take just a minute to introduce my family. I have four daughters. We haven't disowned or gotten rid of any of them. Our second oldest is in Pensacola Christian College, so she's not here with us this morning. But my wife, Crystal, she is the glue that holds us together. We couldn't do it without her, and I realize that more and more. I find myself more incompetent in everything I do without my wife. I'm glad the Lord has given her to me. Our oldest daughter, Bethany, she is at WVU in pharmacy school. And then Maddie is 15, just learned to drive. So if you see a little silver Chevy Cruze, stay out of the way. So it's scary. And then our youngest daughter, Lydia, she's 14. She'll be driving before too long, which is scary. But it is great to be here. It's a joyful thing to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? We spent the month of August down in North Carolina. We're building a pastor's retreat down there. And myself and my two younger daughters were there the whole month of August. And we worked 6-hour days, 8 or 10 hours a day, you know. And the only time we took off was for church on Wednesday night and church on Sunday. You know, that's what we did. And I said, you know, in the book of Psalms, David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And I said, you know what that tells me? David worked really hard. That's what that means. And if you're a hardworking person and you look forward to Sunday for that day of rest, do you not? But not only do we get a day of rest on Sunday, but you also get to come into the house of the Lord and be refreshed.
Right.
And what a blessing that is. I look forward to being in God's house. The fellowship is just something that we need as believers. And I'm thankful to be here and to be able to fellowship with you all this morning. If you have your Bible this morning, turn to Hebrews chapter number 12. We're going to be looking at three different passages of scriptures here in the book of Hebrews. And we're going to see there's a warning here to those who are not believers. And there's also a warning to those who are believers in each of these three. And I think there's some things that we can glean, some help that we can receive here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 25 is where we are going to start reading this morning. Hebrews chapter number 12. And before I forget, because I already forgot, I wanted to mention my aunt and uncle are here. Philip and Linda Stone, they came from Bunker Hill over in the Eastern Panhandle this morning and surprised us being here, and we're thankful for them being here. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 25. It says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven?" And of course, this is talking about all the times in the Old Testament when God said something and God followed through with what he said. He used Moses, he used different people to proclaim the law, speaking here on earth through him. And every time God said, "Hey, you better do this," and they did not, he followed through with what he said. And now the Bible is saying here, see that now he who is speaking from heaven, if they didn't escape, what makes us think that we're going to be able to escape? Verse number 26, "Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And we know that that day is coming.
Amen.
The return of Christ is nigh. That those end times that we've heard about for so long are upon us, I believe.
That's right.
And there's going to come a day when not only the earth shakes, but the heavens are going to shake as well. And there's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth. And that day is closer now than it's ever been. We get to verse number 27. "And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things which are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." Verse 29, it says, "For our God is a consuming fire." And in this, here in Hebrews chapter number 12, there is a warning to those who are believers, and there's a warning to those who are not believers. And the warning really is the same. It is, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh."
Amen.
You know, there are times as kids when we're young people and mom and dad speak and we decide we're not going to listen to what they say, right? And we find out that there are consequences to us not doing what mom and dad say. When we refuse him that speaketh on earth, dad gets a hold of you and you regret that dad had to get a hold of you, correct? And the same thing is true when it comes to our Heavenly Father. Here we find that the warning is, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, because our God is a consuming fire."
Right.
You know, we like to think of God as a God of love, and that is exactly what he is. That's what the Bible tells us he is. But when the Bible says that God is love, here is another verse that says, "Our God is a consuming fire." God is love, yes. But because of God's love, God is also just. God is also holy.
Amen.
And there's judgment that comes into our lives when we refuse Him that speaks. And the Bible is full of God speaking to us. And there are so many different examples of things God says that you ought to do. So many different examples of things that the Bible says you should not do. And we need to follow those things. Make sure we're listening to God when He speaks to us. There are many times when you're sitting in a church service and you hear the Word of God preached, and there's a voice that you hear. Maybe not audibly, but you're sitting there. And the Holy Spirit of God applies what the preacher is saying to your own heart, and you feel God speaking to you. And friend, can I tell you, in those times, refuse not Him that speaketh. Don't refuse that voice that you hear. Why? Because God doesn't have to be speaking to you.
That's right.
Do you realize that really it's a privilege for us to be able to hear the voice of God, to have God speak to us? And if God, who created all things, if God, who put this whole world together, took His time to create you, to put you in the place where you are, it is a significant thing to consider that that very God would speak to you. You think about that. God loves you enough that not only would He send His Son to die for your sins, but He takes His time to speak to you.
Amen.
Do you know how you can tell whether or not somebody cares about you? Generally speaking, whether or not they speak to you, right? How do you treat people you don't like? You don't speak to them, right? But there's someone you love, what do? How many of you grandparents look at your grandkids and you never speak to them? We can tell that someone loves us because they're willing to speak to us. They're willing to share that love. They're willing to correct us. They're willing to try to mold our life. And that's exactly what God tries to do to us. He does that for people who are lost. He speaks to them and He says, hey, you need to get saved. He does that for people who are saved. He says, hey, there's this little thing in your life that needs to change. And friend, whether we're lost or we're saved, we need to hear this warning. The warning of verse number 25, see that ye refuse not Him that speaketh. He doesn't have to be speaking to us. He does because He loves us. If you would turn with me now to the book of Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, we're going to start reading in verse number 19. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 19. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 26, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge His people. Verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Amen.
So here in Hebrews chapter number 10, we have the same kind of flow of things. We have a warning here to those who are believers. some commandments that come to those who are believers, and then we have some warning to those who are not. The challenge we get here in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 19 through verse number 25 is simple. It is that we are supposed to contend for the faith. We're supposed to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. We are to hold fast our profession. It's supposed to be near and dear to us, our relationship with God, our relationship with God's people. The evidence of that is going to be how we live our lives. There's going to be a difference in the way that you live your life. There's going to be some fruit there. There's going to be some things that you do that maybe we as human beings aren't necessarily good at apart from Christ in us. One of those things that we find is in verse number 24, and it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." That is the job of a believer. Have you ever thought of that as being your job? You are to provoke people. That's what God wants you to do. To provoke people. Now, we're generally pretty good at provoking people, are we not? I can remember as a teenager, I was the annoying kind of teenager that did not know when to stop. And I just kept going, and I kept pushing buttons. And I, you know, just kept driving, and I knew, hey, I've gone too far, but there was just something in me. It was driving me, and I couldn't stop. And I wanted to, but I just couldn't, right? And I know how to provoke people, right? And probably there's some of you who are very similar to that. You can spot the places that if you touch there, it really drives people crazy, right? Anybody good at that? I'm the only one. Oh. We're to provoke one another. That's a good thing.
Yes.
We're to provoke unto love. How do we do that? Well, you think about it. If we want to provoke someone to love, how would we go about that, right? And okay, well, if I wanted to provoke someone to anger, what would I do? Well, I would probably use my words, right? And I would probably find something that I could talk to them about that I knew would get under their skin, I knew would bother them, and then I'd just really hammer that over and over again, right? So to provoke someone to love, how do you do that? Well, you do the same thing. You use your words, right? You know what? God loves you. Do you know why we love Him? Because He first loved us. And can I tell you this? That many times in our lives, the reasons that we're not living for God the way that we ought to is because we don't love the Lord the way that we should. And if we would love Him the way that we should, then we would live right. But how do you work up that love? How do you make yourself love God? You say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I mean it this time. I'm just going to love God. I'm going to love Him more. Okay, does that work? Not really. How do you love God? Well, can I tell you this? Love is a thing of response.
Yes.
And when we read in the Word of God, when we hear how much Jesus Christ loves us, do you know what that causes us to do? It causes us to love Him more.
Amen.
We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And when we find out how much He loves us, we love Him more. You know what? That's why you need to be in your Bible. So to provoke someone to love, what do you need to do? Hey, tell them, hey, Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he's done all of these different things that we find written in the Word of God. And He's done all that for you. And you say, hey, you know what? I've been reading my Bible, and this is what I found. You know, this is true about me, but it's also true about you. And you know what you're doing? You're provoking one another to love, right? That's our job. When is the last time you provoked someone to love? You say, well, I didn't even realize I was supposed to be doing that. Okay, well, you are. So what are you going to do about it, right?
Amen.
Provoke someone to love. Tell them how much Jesus loves them. And you know, that's a good thing for you to do to a believer, but it's a good thing for you to do to someone who's lost as well. We need to be sharing the love of Christ. And as we share the love of Christ, what we find is that it produces a love in us, that we love Him more because we realize how much He loves us. You know, we sing the song, "Oh, How He Loves You and Me." You know, that's a great song. Because that reminds us of how much He loves us, which in turn causes us to love Him more. But you know what it's not necessarily about? Is, oh, how I love Jesus. Because you know what? We're never going to love Him the way that we should. Well, we're never going to love him to the extent that, we as human beings should. That's not the important thing. The important thing is, oh, how he loves you and me. And if we can get our heads wrapped around how much God loves us, man, what would that do for us? It'd change our life. Not about how much we love him. It's about how much he loved us. But it also says that we're to provoke one another to good works. How do we provoke one another to good works? Here's some tips, some pointers, some things that you can use practically in your life to provoke one another unto good works. Hey, we're having a work day at church. Why don't you come? Anybody ever hear that before? Hey, they're having a work day. Why don't you come? You know what you're doing? You're provoking someone to go do some good works, right? That's a good thing. Hey, you know what? We're going out and we're going to do some visitation for VBS. Why don't you come along? Hey, that's good works. There's a whole lot of good works that the Bible commands us to do. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us there are good works that are preordained that we should walk in after we become a believer, right? But you know what? Sometimes we just need that encouragement to get busy for the Lord. When's the last time you did something for God? You know, what we heard this morning of all the roles of people in the church. The pew warmers, right? God didn't save us just for us to come to church and sit on a pew.
That's right.
He saved us for us to get busy working for him. Now, we're all going to do different things, right? The Bible describes the body of Christ as a body who people who do different things. Can I tell you this? I'm not a nursery worker. I'm not. And maybe you're not either, but you know what? You don't have to work in the nursery. And some of us really shouldn't work in the nursery, right? There wouldn't be any kids left, right? Smack them down a rat hole, you know? It's not good. But there are some things you can do for the Lord. And one of those good works that you can do is this job of provoking. Provoking one another to love and to good works. Friend, we got to get busy at doing this. Do you know what you need? You need encouragement. If you look at things about the business world and you know the advice that people give, you know they talk about this idea of mentorship and how you need to take somebody under your wings. You need to train them, and you as a new believer, you need to look for a mentor, somebody that you can get under and you can learn under. And you know what? That's not a worldly philosophy. That's a biblical pattern. That's what we need to be doing. Right? The business world didn't come up with a new idea.
That's right.
Right? You see this all through the New Testament with Paul and Barnabas and different people that someone took someone under their wing and trained them. And you know what? That's our job as believers. You see someone who's hurting, you know what you need to do? You need to take them under your wing. You say, hey, spend some time together. You ever notice this, that a lot of times Christians have a lot of questions? Especially new believers, they have a lot of questions, but they don't know who to ask. You need to be that person. You need to go to them and say, hey, you know what? I'm here to help if you ever need anything. Let's get together and let's have coffee. Why don't you come over to the house? Let's hang out a little bit and let's try to have a relationship. And you know what? You can have that relationship with the motive of you trying to bring that person along in their faith, not necessarily because you're looking to have a bunch of new friends, right? We need to have that mentality of looking unto others who are in need and reaching out to them and bringing them along in the faith. It's our job as believers to do that. We get down to verse number 25, and this is something else we can provoke people to do. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, part of the reason that we assemble is not just for doing what we're doing right now. Part of the reason that we assemble is to exhort one another. But I think many times we get together and we have the preaching part, we have the singing part, but a lot of times we miss out on the exhortation part.
That's right.
In that believers need to be exhorting other believers. You need to be talking to people. You need to be encouraging them spiritually. You need to have a care about their spiritual condition and try to be a help. Now, sometimes people are just nosy, busybodies, right? And they're trying to make people feel bad, you know? But we need to honestly be caring for other believers and exhort each other. Some people say, you know what? I don't go to church because I don't get a whole lot out of it. Well, that's hogwash, number one. But number two, it's not about what you're going to get out of church. It's about what you're going to give.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about your job of coming to church and exhorting one another, of encouraging one another. It's important. These people say, well, you know, I can, you don't have to be a Christian, or you don't have to be, you can be a Christian and not go to church. People say that. And that's true. There's nowhere in the Bible that requires the blood of Christ and church attendance. It's not there. But the Bible's replete with examples of our need of the relationship that church gives us. I see so many people online saying, hey, I'm in need of help. Can somebody help me? I need this and I need that. You know what? Every time I want to say, you know what? What about your church? You know, when you get in church, you know what you become? You become the people who help people, not the people who are always in need. You know why? Because church works. Church works.
That's right.
It changes your life. It makes your life better. And I'm not talking about a health and wealth gospel. I'm talking about the fact that just church works. It's somebody who is down on their luck, somebody who's having a rough life, they get saved, they get in church, and what happens to them? God establishes their life. And they go from the person who was always in need and always asking for help to the person who is now helping other people. That's what Ephesians 4 tells us, that we're to work hard with our hands. Why? So that we can get? No. So that we can give.
Amen.
And that's what happens. You want to have a better life? Get in church. You know why? Because it works. We move on to verse number 26. It says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful, looking for judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. In essence, what this verse is saying is that if you can continue to sin willfully after that you've received the knowledge of the truth, there's nothing to look forward to except for judgment. That's it. That's all you have to look forward to. That's a sad thing. But when the Bible here is using this terminology, if you continue to sin willfully, what is it talking about? I want you to think about sin and you committing sin and how often you commit sin willfully. Generally speaking, when we as human beings commit sin, we do it willfully. We make a choice, right? It isn't that we accidentally sin. People say, well, man, I just fell into sin. No, you didn't.
Right.
You made the choice to do the wrong thing. It's your fault. You made the decision, right? We know that. We understand that. There's consequences for that sin. But how do we sin unwillingly? I was thinking about this. How is it possible for us to sin unwillingly? And the only thing I could come up with was this. I personally bought some things at Menards, and I had to get 59 sheets of this material. And you know what? If I would have gotten 60 sheets, but you know when you're counting out 59 of something that's hard to handle, you know what? There could be a possibility that you might accidentally take more than you're supposed to take. But if I paid for 59 and I took 60, then what do we call that? Stealing, right? Do we still consider that sin? Yeah, but what if it was an accident? I guess that would be sinning unwillfully, maybe. You didn't mean to do it. But there are very few examples of us sinning unwillfully, right? But the Bible is talking about here us sinning willfully. If we continue to sin willfully, it's not talking about you told a lie and you did it willfully, so you're doomed to hell. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a person who has come to the knowledge of the truth. They've heard that Jesus died for their sins. They've heard that without Him, there is no salvation. They've heard the gospel. They know the gospel. And they say, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want that. I refuse that. I do not need Jesus Christ. I refuse. You know what happens then? The Bible says that there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. So does that mean that if you come to church and you're convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, maybe that's true about you in your life. There was a time when you were under conviction and you knew you needed to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you said, no, I'm not going to do it. Does that mean that there is no sacrifice for your sins? Does that mean you're bound to hell? And I would submit to you this morning that no, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean this. That if you reject Jesus Christ, He is the only sacrifice for your sins.
That's right.
Amen. That can get you to heaven. He is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way. And if you refuse that way, there is no more sacrifice for your sins. You're not going to find another way. You're not going to find another path. You're not going to find another religion. You're not going to find any other thing that will get you to heaven other than the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you at Calvary.
Amen.
Friend, there is no more sacrifice for your sin than Jesus Christ. Why would you refuse Him? The only thing we have to look forward to if we have rejected Jesus Christ, according to verse number 7, is but a fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation. That's all there is for a lost person to look forward to. But you know what? I'm glad I'm not lost.
Amen.
I have a lot to look forward to.
Amen.
I have heaven to look forward to. There's going to be a day when I'm going to be like Him because I'm going to see Him as He is. And it's going to be a great day. I'm not going to have to worry about sin anymore. I'm not going to have to worry about disappointing people anymore. I'm not going to have to worry about disappointing myself anymore. I'm not going to have to worry about disappointing God anymore. It's going to be done and over, and I'm going to be like Him, and I can't wait for that day.
That's right.
And I believe that day is nigh. But friend, here in verse number 28, it says, He that despised Moses' law. That word despise, it has the idea of taking it lightly. Looking at it and saying, you know what? It's no big deal. You know what? We do that with the Word of God all the time.
That's right.
We know there are things we should do, things we should not do. God's law tells us that, and we despise it. We say, eh, it's not a big deal. I know God said that, but eh, it's not a big deal. I don't really need to worry about that. But we find here, verse number 29, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of God. It's talking about a person who's rejected Christ. Trodding underfoot Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm not trodding underfoot Jesus Christ. I'm not looking at His blood and saying it's worthless. I'm not saying any of that. I just don't want it. But what the Bible says is that if you have rejected Jesus Christ, then that's exactly how you've treated Christ, His blood, and the work of the Spirit in your life. You've treated it as an unholy thing, something that wasn't special, something that you just frankly don't care about. Verse number 30 tells us, For we know Him that has said, Vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge His people. Verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And remember Hebrews chapter 12, for our God is a consuming fire. Turn with me, if you would, to our third passage, Hebrews chapter number 2 for a moment. Hebrews chapter number 2, we'll be wrapping up in just a minute. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 1. We start off with a warning to those who are believers, those who know Jesus. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Just think about that for a moment. The Bible says that we need to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Why? Because it's easy to let things slip. It's easy to let things slip. And can I tell you that when things start to slip, do you know that doesn't happen overnight?
That's right.
It doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen quickly. It happens slowly. Have you ever seen a place where, down in North Carolina, where the storm came through last September? You see all of these places where there's this huge mudslides, and you hear stories of houses being swept away by those mudslides. And you know that those mudslides didn't happen in an instant. What happened? Just a little place started to break loose. Just a little place. And as that broke loose, a little bit more started to break loose. And it was this process where kind of slowly it started to loosen, but then there got a point where everything just broke loose. And can I tell you, that's exactly what happens in the life of a Christian. You start to despise God's word just a little bit. You mean I don't despise God's word, I don't hate God's word. That's what we're talking about. Talking about taking God's word lightly. That area just isn't important. It's not important that I read my Bible. It's not important that I pray. It's not that important. And you know what? We start to let things slip. And then the next thing you know, we're laying at the bottom of the crevice, wondering how we got there, when if we would have gotten a hold of things back in the beginning, when things started to slip, we could have saved ourselves a whole lot of trauma if we would have just listened to God. Verse number 3. This is our warning to those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Verse 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?"
Amen.
"Which of the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him." How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And for that's the question this morning. There is coming a day, and the Bible tells us this, that there's coming a day that every knee shall bow.
That's right.
And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
If you are here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will be there that day and you will bow your knee and you will confess Him as Lord. But at that point, it would be too late for you. At that point, you're on your way to hell. Friend, how will you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? How will you escape the judgment that is to come if you don't accept Jesus Christ? Because there is no more sacrifice for your sin. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hebrews chapter number 12, we're warned, "Refuse not him that speaketh, for our God is a consuming fire." In Hebrews chapter number 10, we're told that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But friend, it's a wonderful thing to be welcomed into the arms of Jesus.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing to know Him as your personal Savior. He died for you. He speaks to you. He loves you. What are you waiting on? There's never a better time to accept Christ than now. For believers, we've discussed many things that a believer is supposed to do to provoke one another to love and good works. Friend, are you busy about doing that job? To be here, to exhort one another, to listen to God when He speaks. Friend, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual life, but we all are in a spiritual condition. It may be a good condition and it may be a bad condition. And I don't know what it is for you, but you do. And God does. And I encourage you this morning to listen. Listen to Him that is speaking. You say, "Well, I'm listening to you, Brother Pat. I'm hearing everything you say." That's not the one you really need to be listening to. You need to be listening to the Holy Spirit of God as He confirms the truth of the Word of God. in your own heart. To that still small voice that's telling you that, hey, you know what? What the Bible says there, that's right. What the Bible says you need it. And not because Brother Pat says so, but because God says so. If you don't know Him, get saved. If you know Him, get busy. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. I'm going to have Bethany come and get ready to play Hymn of Invitation this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we've heard a warning this morning to those who are believers and those who are lost. And maybe you're here this morning and you're a believer and you'd say, Brother Pat, God spoke to my heart about something this morning. Maybe it's something that you've let slip in your life. You know, there's something that you're not doing anymore that you used to do. Maybe it's something that God has just spoken to your heart about that has slipped. I don't know what it might be. Maybe God has spoken to you about something you're not doing. Maybe you need to be provoking one another to love and good works. Maybe it's because you're not here to exhort one another like you should be. But God has spoken to your heart, and you say, Brother Pat, pray for me. God has spoken directly to my heart. There's something in my life that needs to change. If that's you, would you lift a hand and say, Brother Pat, pray for me. Amen. Several hands. Amen. Amen. God speaks. That's great. Second, maybe you're here this morning. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's never been a time you called upon Him. That's fine. But friend, let me ask you the question. How will you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? For there's no more sacrifice for your sins if you reject Christ. There's no escaping. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Brother Pat, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. And I've never taken that way of escape. I've never accepted Him. But this morning, I'm listening to that voice that is telling me I need to. You're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, but God is speaking. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, anything like that. But I'd like the opportunity to pray for you. Would there be one this morning who say, Brother Pat, that's me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Include me in that prayer. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Say, Brother Pat, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. But I'd like for you to pray for me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity You've given us to be in Your Word. We thank You for the opportunity that we've had to be in Your house to fellowship, to exhort one another, to provoke one another to love and good works. We thank You for that opportunity. God, we thank You this morning that there were several who lifted their hands and said that there's something that needs to change. And God, I pray for those. I pray that You would enable them to see that change in their life, help them to depend on You. Lord, to live out the grace that You've given them in their life. Lord, that they'd see the change that You desire in them. God, I pray for those this morning who are here who do not know You as Savior. God, I thank You that You allowed them to be here this morning to hear the gospel. God, I thank You that the Holy Spirit of God has worked in their life. God, I thank You that they've heard. God, I ask this morning that You give them the boldness in their heart that they need to step out during the invitation time and admit their need, to admit that they're lost without You, Lord, so that they can accept You and leave this place headed to a different final destination. God, have Your will and way accomplished in our invitation time. We'll give You the praise for what You accomplish in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask Bethany to go ahead and begin playing a hymn of invitation. God's spoken to your heart this morning. Altar's open. If you need to come and pray, I'd encourage you to do that. If you're here this morning and you don't have the confidence that you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, we'd love to be able to take the Bible, the Word of God, to show you how you can know for sure, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you are saved, that you're on your way to heaven. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John that we can know. These things have I written in you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you don't have to doubt anymore. If you'd come forward, if you're a man, we'd have a man take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a lady, we'd have a lady take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Would you respond? Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, friend. See that you refuse not Him that speaketh to you. Allow Him to have His way in your life.
One more verse. You're still welcome to come if you'd like. It was 49 years ago next month in a church a little bit bigger than this with a guest speaker and guest singers sitting up in the balcony. I had been in church all my life, did all the religious things that a religious person is supposed to do, but I did not know Jesus Christ personally. And it was in a sunny morning like this. I was too embarrassed to walk an aisle, because everybody thought in that big old church that I was a Christian, and I wasn't. So I went over and I grabbed one of the staff members. I said, would you come with me? We went into a little classroom, and there I called on Jesus Christ to come into my life and be my Savior. Can I tell you something? I don't know anybody's heart. I really don't. I only know my heart. I know what Jesus did for me 49 years ago. If you are here and you said, I'm not certain that that's really my case. I really don't know that I've personally called on Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're a Baptist. That's not what it's about. I don't care if you're a member of this church. That's not what it's about. But what it is about is exactly what you heard preached today.
Amen.
Jesus said, you must be born again. You have to have a second birth. You have to call on him personally. No one else can do it for you. Your pastor, priest cannot do it for you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. So here's the offer to you. Throughout the rest of this day, and we'll be here for a little while, if you want to come and talk to me privately, if you want to talk to Brother Tanner, or you can just grab anybody that maybe you see standing around that you think might know a little bit about this. We'll privately talk to you, and you say, I'm just not sure what you mean about receiving Jesus. I just want to make sure I understand this. But if you want to know, it can be in the middle of the meal. It could be in the middle of the concert. It could be after everything is done. If you would like to talk to me or someone here, we are willing to do that, okay? Because every time we have somebody here, whether it's a morning service, an evening service, a Wednesday night service, it is a time of decision, a time of decision. And so if you're just in your heart are stirred about that, please don't leave the property without speaking to someone, because we want you to know, man, I am changed. God changed me, and he keeps changing me from the time that he saved me. And I want you to have what I have. I want you to have it. It's free. It's a free gift. So anyway, we are going to be dismissed here in a moment. And I want to thank our visitors for coming. And we would like to encourage you to stay and eat. Now, listen, when I've visited churches and they say they're going to have a dinner, it's like, well, I'm not part of the church family. I'm going to leave. But we would like you to stay. That's why we call it Friends and Family Day. So you are more than welcome. Now, I'm not going to twist your arm. We're not going to lock the doors and, you know, force you to do it. But there'll be plenty of food over there. So if you don't eat it, then I have to take it all to my house and eat it. And you can tell I don't need to eat anymore. So please stay. We'd love to have you for that and for the concert afterwards. So we'll go ahead and we'll bless the food now. And then you can just slip right over to the other building. And whoever gets in there first, just tell them, Pastor already prayed, it's time to go, start. Now, they may say, wait a minute, we got to set everything out. But anyway, we'll eat here in just a few moments. So let's go ahead and we'll bow for prayer. And Brother John Fox, would you just lift your voice up and bless the food, please?